This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
G&D on the Fan. We will get to the fastest 16 minutes from around the NFL this past week. Week 12's in the books. I'm a sucker for the Harbaugh Brother Bowl. I know that makes me a little bit nubby, Danny. You probably hate that about me. It's a lot of coverage. It's a lot of they shared a bedroom together and the parents are having an anniversary this week. It's a lot of Jim and John Harbaugh talking about how much they respect the other. Two brothers, same family, coaching in the NFL. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is amazing, but I'm also all set. Like, I was good in 2012 on that.
I've never been more sure about anything coming in here than that you were completely set.
Did you guys know that they were brothers? Has anyone heard that? I get it is, again, it's remarkable.
Danny.
It's remarkable.
Two people. And I'm not acting like it's complete coincidence, right? I mean, there's such a thing as connections and
sure,
whatever, but from the same family, have two of the 32 head coaching jobs in the National Football League, and last night they're going head-to-head for the third time ever. It's pretty cool.
It is. It's amazing. The odds are a trillion to one, probably more than that, but 10 trillion to one. It is remarkable. It is amazing. I'm also all set on the story. I'm good on it. What's more, what people should be doing every day is maybe two of the, I don't know, top of my head, two of the 15 best pass rushers ever to live are brothers. Grew up in the same household, and then the other guy's a fullback. Like the Watt family to me is a billion times more interesting than, you know, Mr. Like, I'm going to attack this cereal with a passion of a thousand burning suns, Harbaugh. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know.
The Watts are awesome too.
Yeah.
I'll do Watt stuff. Yesterday, the Manning cast was two brothers interviewing two brothers. They had Owen and Luke Wilson on about two brothers coaching. And I thought that was genius from whoever did that at Omaha Productions.
Mm-hmm.
But Owen and Luke Wilson. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
We're on the Manning cast to talk about the Harbaugh Bowl.
Wow, Rizdy. It's
unbelievable. Which I just thought was great.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's continuing to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The sponsor of our show, the law firm Kanuri & Murad, will help update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So I will share this data that I looked up yesterday, and then I want to get to the calls on this. And I actually want to give Craig Hoffman credit for this, because this is something we were talking in the press box about, and then he kind of gave me the idea. I saw he was diving into where on the field maybe Jaden Daniels liked to throw. But I looked up the heat map last night via, you could do it with, I use PFF, but I'm sure Next Gen Stats has it as well. And I just wanted to know, when Jaden Daniels throws the ball, where does he like to throw the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels on throws at the line of scrimmage to 20 yards downfield, based on the math I did on his throws via PFF, when throwing horizontally out wide, okay?
Right.
So if he's not between the hash marks, he's throwing toward the sideline, left or right, on outside throws, he throws right 74% of the time and left 26% of the time. That is a pretty massive difference. That is a 3-to-1 ratio. Jaden Daniels drops back. He throws right way more often than he throws left. Some of that is, by the way, anytime he leaves the pocket to his right, you're obviously splitting the field in half. That's your predominant side. That's your throwing hand, whatever you're going to roll toward the side you throw with. But it's also been said by a couple broadcasters this season that defensive coaches have said, when he leaves the pocket and goes to the right, he's going to pass. When he leaves the pocket and goes to the left, he's going to run, which is a tell I'd say they've got to figure out and maybe make sure that that's not so stark that everybody knows about it. But again, I'm going to tell you the numbers. 74% of his throws outside between 0 and 20 yards are to the right, just 26% to the left, which in and of itself doesn't really matter, except that Terry McLaurin almost always lines up on the left. Terry McLaurin has lined up on the left on all but 27 routes this season. He has run well over 300 routes. On the right, he's been targeted 8 times. He's got 7 catches for 170 yards and 2 touchdowns, including that amazing game-sealing catch against the Bengals. But if you remember, Kingsbury came out and said that that was like a play that McLaurin and Daniels drew up on the sideline, and he tried to get a timeout because he couldn't flip the formation, and they ran it anyway, essentially. Meaning, like, he was trying to flip him to the left.
Yeah, he's like, I don't like him over on the right side. Let's not do it.
And so he just went and caught the touchdown in the end zone. And maybe it's not quite as stark as, you know, that Kingsbury was just some passenger. But that was kind of the way he told it, and they told it that week. But my point is just to bring up that McLaurin almost always lines up on the left, and Daniels' proclivity is at a 3-to-1 clip to throw to the right. Weird that Noah Brown has 10 more targets than McLaurin over the last month.
So it could be any number of things to contribute to this. Okay, so I'm going to chip away at it, then come back to the total point. I'm not going to lose the forest for the trees here. Let's say, for the sake of argument, Terry McLaurin all the time is a single receiver to the left, and there's more options that are to the right, which I think happens an awful lot. The strong side of the formation, the tight end, a slot receiver, an outside receiver, a running back leaking out of the backfield, often goes away from where the coverage is shaded, where you're going to win a numbers game. If you're throwing one of those quick hitters, it feels like more of them go to the opposite side of Terry McLaurin. I think that's one. Two, again, more receiving options over there. Coverage dictated towards Terry McLaurin, so other guys are open. That's maybe some more numbers going over there. Even with those factors weighing this number down, it's still George Stark. It's still Tony Stark. It's still,
Ned Stark.
Ned Stark, even. Thank you for bringing up Ned Stark. I didn't know you had that in the file, but you did. Good for you. What does he say? What's his famous line? Ned Stark says,
"Winter is coming."
Look at this. Look at this. Game of Paulson over
here.
Thank you. I love it. I'm proud of you. Shake the tail when you walk.
I didn't know if it was that or take the ring to Mordor.
He was in both.
Okay. No, he was in both.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, he doesn't say take the ring to Mordor. He goes, "It is a gift. We must wield it." And then they're like, "You cannot wield it. There are none of us who can. You know, through a power, reduce me." That's the whole thing. Anyway, the point of the dude's story is, There's some reason why you're going to go right more than you go left in this setup because of where Terry McLaurin is. The net, the end result is what you just said. Is the last part to me is the part I care about the most. Over the last several weeks, Noah Brown has more targets than Terry McLaurin. Nope, wrong, broken, fix it, shuffle up the snow globe and do it again.
Well, Jay yesterday on our show was fantastic, and we didn't even really bring up the Terry McLaurin thing, just so we're all on the same page. It's not like I asked him, "Hey, we think Terry McLaurin needs to be moved around. What do you think about that?" Jay was on our show, and I asked him about Kingsbury's offense, and he said, I'll just read the quote here. This transcript got a lot of play last night, passed around Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson. He said, "I think he does a good job in the running game," by the way.
That's a time to be alive, yeah.
That's an interesting thing, right? Not the passing game. He says, "But I think some of his passing game, if I had any recommendations for him at all, it would be move Terry around a little bit. You can't always put him on the left. Use the word Buckeye and have Noah Brown and Terry switch sides. It's not that hard. Line him up on the right side. Put him to the field sometimes, not to the boundary. Then, because just to clarify that, like the boundary meaning he's on the shorter side of the field a lot of the time, and so he's running some of these, you know, there's a little less you can do with that, where if you put him out wide and then you run the inbreakers, he's got some more real estate. He says the slant to Noah Brown, let Terry run that slant. And just say the word Buckeye and let Terry be the outside guy." But his point is, this is a former play caller, coach, coordinator, who had as much or more success offensively in the league as Kingsbury has had. And he's saying, this seems like a pretty easy thing you could do. And it's just not something, for whatever reason, Kingsbury, with his guys in the past, Hopkins, McLaurin, otherwise, has ever really navigated away from. I want guys to line up on the same side. And supposedly, it's just based on tempo and the air raid and the timing of getting to the line and running as many plays as possible and not moving guys back and forth. But I thought that was fascinating from Jay Gruden. But when you actually dive into the numbers, these are just two facts. McLaurin almost never lines up on the right. Daniels prefers massively to throw to the right. And I'll add a third fact. When McLaurin has been targeted on the right, 7 catches, 8 targets for an average of basically 30 yards per catch and a couple of touchdowns. Maybe you'd try to mix that in just a little bit more. But the phones have blown up. The question for you guys is, why have they lost 3 in a row? Jim's in Spotsylvania. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys, I'm going to pick up on what you were talking about, being behind on the yardage after first down, et cetera. This reminds me of a Jordan Reed situation. B. Robinson, we got to have an uncomfortable conversation. Great guy, incredible talent. But if you ain't between the lines, you're not helping us. And maybe it's time to start rethinking this moment, because now you got him down, you got Eckler down. What kind of running game are you going to have this week? I mean, I'm back in the Larry Brown days. I'm really old. That guy came on, changed the world for us. I'm seeing an issue here in the running game. Look at the beginning. Look at where we're at. That's the problem.
Appreciate you, dude. So, yeah, I mean, the success, the early down success of the run game has clearly dissipated. It was at an unsustainable level to start the season, right? Those, you know, non-Tampa Bay division. But since week two through, what would you say, week seven, week eight, et cetera, they were basically, it was second and four before you blinked. Almost every time, second and eight, they were getting first downs on runs. Everything was open. Defenses have now adjusted to some degree, whatever, they're taking away certain gaps, figuring out your tendencies. I'm not smart enough to know every single thing that they're doing every time, stacking the box, et cetera. But it's also not as if the other first down plays are working. It's the little slip screens, the little, you know, the any kind of jet action or you know, anything sort of quick to towards the sideline. Nothing is working on early downs all of a sudden over the last few weeks. And that sets up these really bad situations that no offense would be able to deal with consistently.
Brian Robinson is injury riddled at this point. And I think part of it is his physical bruising style and his size. He's a big target. He takes on contact. Yep. It's a violent position. There's a lot of collisions, and he's almost never running in space, right? He's running, think about it. It's between the tackles. It's where all the bodies are. You're getting folded up. You're getting crunched. But he, while he played mostly in every game last year, he's kind of one of those guys that's always got the Q next to his name. It's like
always
he's
not
practicing.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on. And I actually agree with you when you say there's a conversation that needs to be had. He's a very popular player, and
he should be.
But I think they absolutely, I said this yesterday, I think running back should be a need for them this offseason. While I like B-Rob a lot, I'd love a situation where he is a short yardage, kind of battering ram thumper, maybe salt a game away second half type guy. But I want more speed. I want more twitch in this offense. I think they need a burner. You watch the really elite backs like Barkley, and if they get a crevice, they're gone. Robinson, on a perfectly kind of developed play, not even perfectly blocked, but like he broke a tackle, got through the line, nobody's around, and it's him in the open field. His longest run of the year for 40 yards got caught from behind. Like, that is a house call for a running back with legitimate strike up the band speed. And I think that's the way they got to go offensively this offseason, is look for some of that. Mike's in D.C. What's up, Mike?
Good evening, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
I have three things to say. De'Ami Brown, McCaffrey, and Sennett. We need to get them more involved. Jalen Daniels is running this show. He's not worried. He's sitting back relaxed. He's cool in the game. And one more thing. They're watching our films every week. We're running some of the same plays. And they need to put De'Ami Brown back on punt return. He got a lot of speed also. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you, dude.
He's a big De'Ami Brown guy.
Likes De'Ami Brown.
De'Ami made one nice catch this past week going up the ladder on a dig route inside, which I thought, you know, was probably as good a catch as he's made this year, maybe other than the touchdown early on. But if your point is they're not using their weapons well enough, I think I could co-sign on that. They've given Sennett no chance to impact the offense. Bates gets more targets and more catches, which I think is pretty ridiculous. And I would like to see at least the opportunity for Luke McCaffrey to get involved. And someone could say, oh, well, you know, if he's wide open, then they'd be thrown to him. Everyone says he's so open. Everyone's talking about the separation score. Let's throw him some passes and see what happens. Because until I see him either dropping passes or catching it and not getting any yak or not being helpful at a dependent position, I'm not going to blame him for the targets he's not getting.
With you.
Especially when the SEP score is pretty good.
Since it's a second-round pick, and what they've done a couple straight weeks, Philadelphia, and then this one, is sort of wait with different formations throughout, where John Bates comes on, he's a blocker. Then when you least expect it, here's John Bates as a receiver. And there's something to that. That's smart. Well, what it's resulted in is a plotting guy that should have easily gotten a first down by 4 or 5 yards that made it close. I actually thought he got it, and the call was bad, but whatever.
That was the Eagles game before the fourth down they never got.
And then a fumble this week. So, like, It's an awesome move to make teams, you know, not expect something, second guess, whatever. That can be Sennett.
Yeah.
To me.
There is a role for him. Mm-hmm. Bates is actually a super helpful, good football player.
100%.
Awesome blocker. And as a third tight end, he can make a catch here or there if you're not looking for yak or rumbling or big plays. But when you're going to him when your offense is sputtering like they did against the Eagles or like they did this past week, it's a tell. It is a screaming loudmouth into a microphone glass. Or maybe a megaphone saying, like, you're lacking weapons. But I would love to see Sinnott, who was an animal in the preseason and who was, you know, one of the best weapons at his position in college football last year, just get a shot to get a target or a catch in the open field and see what happens. Let's go to James in Silver Spring. James, you're on Grant and Danny. We're asking what the biggest reason is for Washington's three-game losing streak.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, bud.
I'm long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you for making
the call. Hit that!
There we go. I think it's talent. Early in the season, our B players were going against other B players. And so now that our B players are banged up, they're best C players. Now we're going against other teams' A players. What A player do we have on offense besides Jaden Banks?
McLaurin?
Well, yeah, I would say. Go ahead, sorry.
I don't think McLaurin's an A player. I think he's a very good B player. He's an 89. That's almost an A, but it's not an A.
Yeah, fair enough.
You're going school grades. Yeah, I mean, look, I guess that's semantics a little bit. Like, where does he rank among receivers? Probably back end top 20. Is that an A? Is that a B? If you're saying you got to be a star. I mean, respectfully, Jaden Daniels has not played like an A player over the last month. Now, I don't think he's been bad. I don't think he's the problem. But you're just kind of chalking him up as an A player based on the early part of the year. Well, if we're only chalking guys up based on their best performance of the season, Terry McLaurin's had some A games too, right? I guess there's more sample size there. But look, you're not going to get much of an argument from us. And Danny, I don't want to speak for you. If you call in and say they lack elite talent, no kidding. Absolutely. I think they got some really good players on both sides of the ball. A few of them. Their best player this year, circuit to circuit's probably been Frankie Louvu, who's been outstanding. I think he would be a first division starter for any championship level team. The Lions, the Chiefs, they'd be lucky to have him. McLaurin would be a baller on those couple of teams, if that's the threshold, right? I think Jeremy Chinn has played really, really well since the first couple of weeks of the season. He's been great. You could throw some guys into that conversation. Daniels at his apex. But they are lacking, clearly, like the really high-end talent. And some of the guys that we thought were that just haven't played like that. I mean, where is Daron Payne, by the way?
Yeah. That's been a huge one.
What
honestly.
Is going on with Daron Payne? The Cowboys had two guards missing as part of the $100 million in cap space.
That should have been the Daron Payne game.
He had a sack on a play where Cooper Rush was trying to waste time and get sacked. So respectfully, I don't know how much I count that one to your 2.5 on the year or whatever. But there's just not enough impact plays. I think he's got 5 hits on the quarterback this year. Disco and Laurel, you're on G&D.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Hey, so I think 3 things. I think we're, number one, I think we're seeing the real ramifications of the positions that we have consistently whiffed on in the draft and free agency. No William Jackson, no Jahan Dotson. We whiffed on Davis. There are a few others. So I think we're really seeing the consequence of look at the positions that we've drafted to be impact players, and they're not impact positions. Second, I think the league is not so much catching up to our scheme, but catching up to our personnel. You cannot, Terry McLaurin is a very, very good player, but he can be taken out of games. And you don't have another player. You don't have other players. Okay, we're going to take Terry, but we've got this other guy. And then the last thing, Grant, and I totally agree with you, and I think we saw a lot of this with Mike Shanahan, is that why can't we have other players that we've drafted high, so why can't we scheme them up?
So
I don't
true.
Wanna, well, I
my, guess, Shanahan did that. Mm-hmm. He killed me with that.
Yes. So my last point is, and I don't want to, well, I guess if I'm saying I'm putting it out in the universe, but Zach Ertz has, you know, incentives in his contract, receptions and things like that. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but with the lack of personnel, the league has caught up to that. And one last thing, I do want to say, now looking at Jaden Daniels now, I thought that this front office has done a magnificent job thus far, but I do wonder if we should have been a little bit more aggressive with a receiver. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought so all offseason, and I had to shut up and eat it while their offense was scoring 38 a game for a month. But now I think, to your point, I think you and I are in lockstep on this one, Disco. I think it's now come back to kind of haunt them a little bit. You can get away with it a lot of times when you're out scheming people, bullying them, knocking them around. You're playing Carolina, who's, you know, looking for golf reservations. You get into the teeth of it as tape gets out there and teams make adjustments. I think then it comes time to, you know, a bit more mano a mano. I think they're suffering there a little bit.
So let's do this next. 800-636-1067. You want to weigh in? We'll take your thoughts on the biggest reasons for Washington's three-game losing streak, as they're now 7-5 and a Hail Mary away from a 6-6 record. But which of these issues are actually fixable and correctable? And maybe we can isolate those as opposed to the
like
things,
for this year, not long term.
Yeah, I mean, this offseason, they can start to make more of the opportunities in free agency in the draft and make up for some of the crimes of the Ron Rivera Marty Party past, right? But like, of the things they can fix, what does that look like and how do they do it? We're Grant and Danny.
Here is Hill. He gets the first down, and on he goes. Inside the 10, end zone, touchdown, Justice Hill.
That 51-yard touchdown run by Justin Hill put the game on ice last night for the Ravens in the Harbaugh Bowl. Baltimore got a 30-23 win. They led 30-16, though, with a minute to play before the Gus Edwards one-yard touchdown capped an 11-play drive in garbage time. And because nobody can get onside kicks anymore, you couldn't get them before. Now you've got to tell the team you're doing it.
And now you really can't get them.
You couldn't a year ago. Now it's like borderline impossible. 3-34 teams trying to get onside kicks this year.
I'm surprised it's that many, honestly.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. There was actually one this week that hit a guy in the leg. I think the Vikings were trying to field it, and Johnny Munt, their tight end, was like trying to engage with someone, and a ball hit him in the leg. And the Bears got an onside kick and went and kicked a field goal. But we're talking about 8% of onside kicks being fielded, which is one of the lowest rates in a long time. I tweeted this yesterday. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. And I've felt this way for many years. I always get a lot of pushback on this, which is fine. But I think this is correct. I think they need to get rid of the onside kick and do the 4th-and-15 play from the XFL. They have gone to the kickoff from the XFL, now UFL, and it's gone very well. Mostly. I mean, people are going to complain because it looks different, but there are more kicks returned. There are more kickoff returns of length. There are more touchdown returns, as we saw this weekend. Oh, by the way, backfired on us a little bit around these parts. But the onside kick does not work, really, to give you a chance. You now know if it's a two-possession game with 2 minutes to go, you're going to lose. I don't think it should be easy to get an onside kick or to maintain possession. So, like, when I say let's do the 4th-and-15 play, everyone's response to that is, well, why do you want to make it easier for the team that's losing? They shouldn't have a chance. Well, then, okay, then why have a chance at all? Then you should just have to kick it deep. What I'm saying is I don't think it should be 50-50, but I think it should be closer to 50-50 than 8%. The game's over. Well, what is the point of that? Make it more exciting. I think the sweet spot is, like, you know, 25% of the time, 20% of the time, 18% of the time. So if you don't like 4th-and-15, maybe make it 4th-and-20.
Yeah, I would say like 4th-and-17 or something that's beyond a regular penalty.
Whatever the math says at a 19 or 17% clip or whatever gets works, do that and add excitement to the game rather than the onside kick, which is now irrelevant and doesn't work.
Yeah, you know my view in general, and you and I will part company this way, but to me there are, let's say there's, I don't know, offenses each get 60 plays per game, right? There's 120 plays that look a certain way. Linemen, receivers, running backs, linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties, and it looks incredible, right? It's the best spectacle we got. And then they stop and do these things that almost have very little to do with that when kickers trot on the field or punters, et cetera, and everything looks different. I would do more exciting football plays than less exciting ones that eliminates kickers almost exclusively, right? So I don't want a kicker involved in an onside kick. I want the offense to be involved. I want the quarterback that's my fantasy draft pick or that's the reason everyone's tuning in every week, not to come down to a guy that was unemployed 6 days ago because the guy that's the starter pulled his groin. Like, that's not fun for anybody. So To me, it shouldn't be easy. I don't want it to be easy, but I want it to happen sometimes with the skill of the football players, less so than this random bounce that happens once every 25 times.
Come on over to 4th and 15 club, or whatever number we want to make. 4th and 20, let's say. I don't care if it's 4th and 25. I think it's better than watching an onside kick that nobody can field. Let's go back to the Commanders and why they've lost three in a row. So looking for, Danny, something that you think is very fixable that's gone badly. I'll start with moving Terry McLaurin around.
That's my list.
Motion, getting him some better looks and free releases, and also throwing the ball to him. I don't care if he's on the left, the right, the moon, Jupiter. Don't give a damn. Throw him the football. In the last 4 weeks for Washington, their targets to players, Brown 27, Ertz 24, Eckler 18, McLaurin 17. He is fourth on the team in targets. There is zero excuse for that. So that's the quick fix for me to try to get this offense going a little bit more than it has been.
McLaurin moving around, I second that. The other thing I would add is sit it sometimes. Not every time. I don't want anyone benched. I don't want Zach Ertz shot into the sun or anything. I want Ben Sinnott involved as opposed to not involved at all.
Let's go to Han in Fairfax on Grant and Danny.
How are you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Grant and Danny. I'm a first-time caller. I fell in love with the team listening to your station, especially you guys. So.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Thank you, buddy. We're getting a lot of first-time callers this week. I don't know why that
it's
is.
It's been a theme, yeah.
But, we have gotten a lot of them. So
it's like tremendous topics, probably. That's probably what it is.
Appreciate you, pal.
Yeah, and what I want to say is, we can look at injuries, but everybody has injuries, and the scheme and things like that have been done to death. This is my worry, and it's sort of a low-probability worry. What if Jaden Daniels is actually a warm-weather quarterback?
This is something that's been percolating among the Grant Paulsons of the world.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far. I would not go that far. I wouldn't do it either. What I said after the Philly game was he looked completely uncomfortable and flustered and bad. He just looked terrible. Why? I was trying to figure out why that was. And one of the things that came up was it was the coldest game potentially that he's ever played in. Let's look into this. And we went back and looked at the other really cold games he's played in that are in the mid-40s or lower in college, and most of them were right around that Philly temperature of like 45 degrees. And in all of those games in college, he struggled. So it was just I'm just asking, like, is that a thing? That maybe he just doesn't like the cold weather as much as the warm weather. That's not a crime. He's from California. He went to school at LSU and Arizona State. Whether he likes it or not, he certainly hasn't played that much in cold weather. And when he's played, he's struggled a little bit in cold weather. I don't think it's a thing. I'm just saying, until he plays really well in cold weather, it's not the craziest thing in the world to bring up that maybe he's not himself when it's 39, 43 degrees.
And so I was doing shtick. To me, it reminds me, honestly, of the, he can't throw over the middle. He hasn't done it that much yet. He will. It'll be fine. Like, he hasn't played a lot of cold weather games yet. That's not his fault.
In fairness, if you look at the numbers with him throwing to the middle of the field, down the field, they don't really do it. He throws outside. That's kind of carried over to the league.
Well, now, they do that more. But yeah. The idea that he can't, I think, has always been ridiculous.
Well, anyone who said he couldn't, anything, he is one of the great athletes on the planet. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league. The idea that he can't do anything is wrong. The guy was an MVP candidate a month ago. But I do think it is true that in college he did a thing and didn't do another thing. And in the league, if you notice, a lot of his throws are outside. That's not what he wants to do, is push the ball down the field, in the middle of the field.
The general point is, I think he hasn't played in cold weather yet. So, like, once he gets used to it, I have no doubt he'll be fine.
Sure.
And it's not your fault that you're from Southern California, you played in the SEC, and you're to be forgiven that there weren't a lot of 20-degree days in Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, and Georgia.
So, Darius is telling me it's going to be 40 degrees on Sunday. So, let's put this narrative to bed once and for all on Sunday. How about it?
A high of 40 degrees, low 24.
Wait, so it's that cold on
real,
this weekend?
Real feel 32 degrees on Sunday.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock?
At 1 o'clock.
Danny, what's happening here?
Oh, no. It's winter?
Do you think they're playing at Lambeau? Is he aware that it's in Landover? Landover, not Lambeau.
Well, let me make sure. That says Landover, Maryland.
Well, the field is very northwest.
Like, did you know it's about to be freezing?
No.
That's ridiculous.
I was very comfortable today. I didn't know it was coming.
It's like 80 a week ago. So 40 degrees, and it's going to feel like 30s. Let's put this narrative to bed once and for all.
Here we go.
He's going to be in his beanie and his coat on the bench. Let's just get out there and light up the tights.
They're going to do all the treatment on his side, his cartilage, to keep him warm, right? Isn't that what he told people?
I didn't see them doing any of that this past week.
I didn't either. Did anyone notice that?
He ran for 74 yards this past
week.
Let's go to Ray in Herndon. What's up, Ray?
Go get her, Ray.
Hey, what's up, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller once again.
So. Wow.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Yeah, there we go, man. Yeah, I think it's twofold, man, as far as things that we can change to help improve. One, Cliff Kingsbury's, he's got to make some adjustments, man. I don't think he's done a good job of adjusting to the defense's adjustments. You guys hit the nail on the head, man. We got to move Terry around. It's super counterintuitive to keep him on the left side if Jaden likes throwing it on the right side. I understand trying to isolate him. But at the end of the day, man, if we're not getting him the ball, then all that other stuff doesn't matter. So we need to fix that. And then on the defensive side, Danny, you alluded to it as well, Grant, you did. Deron Payne, man, I mean, where is he?
Where yet?
You know what I mean? Like, he's our $90 million defensive tackle. And, like, you know, half the time or most of the time, I don't even remember that he's even on the field. You know, if Jerzon Newton is our best defensive lineman, then that's a problem. You know, we don't generate enough pressure, not nearly enough. And, you know, that really falls on him along with the rest of the group. But he's got to do a better job. Thanks for the call, guys.
Thanks. Thank you, Ray. A very good call. Call back sometime. Be a regular. That was a very good call for a first-timer there. How many quarterback hits does Deron Payne have in the last four games, do you think?
I wouldn't be able to hazard a guess. I'll say two.
One.
Mm.
How many quarterback hits does Deron Payne have since week four, do you think?
So what are we now? We're entering week 13?
Yeah, it's eight games. Nine games.
That is, by the way, oh my God. I'll say five.
Two.
Ugh.
I just need more out of him.
Yeah. There's no, listen, oh, but he's double-teamed. Oh, maybe that's not his role. At some point, other guys do it.
You when know what you're I mean? Ready.
Like, Cleveland Farrell's got more than you, bro.
This could be time for one of those old Chase Young, Jason Bateman moments.
Hey, bud.
Hey, pal.
Hey, dude.
Whenever you're ready, bud.
What if you get a chance, Kay?
Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I have an update on the attractive haircutting lady that I tried to set my buddy up
Oh,
with.
This is big.
A big update for you. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. It is time for our double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. You can watch the show on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. We are streaming live, and I guess it's called 4K.
Is it?
I like to call it high definition. I don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
But we're
it's
there.
It's the highest of definitions.
You can watch us there if you'd like. So I've got an update for you.
This is huge.
You want to just get people up to speed really quickly on previously on Grant and Danny.
On a previous episode of Grant and Danny, in a world. So Grant goes to get his haircut. And at the haircut place.
Place to be named later.
Yeah. It's not important where it is. The person happens to be a woman. And she happens to be really attractive. And it's fine.
I would go as far as to
it's
say.
It's fine.
Really, really attractive.
Yes. Yes. Now, Grant, married.
Great at cutting hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Grant's a married dude.
I am.
And what Grant does, the same thing that I now have done as a married person, there's nothing new for me. I've opted out, right? I have no more eligibility left. I'm done. I've sacrificed it. I'm very happy. I know
there's
what I'm
no
doing.
Open transfer portal
there's,
in this game.
There's no NIL. There's nothing. Just me and a commute.
You and right? Dabo Sweeney at Clemson. You ain't going anywhere.
We got nothing. The next best thing is the assist. You got the single buddy. You want to toss that alley-oop.
He passes to the man.
Boom goes the dynamite. So while Grant is sitting there having, if I can say this, excellent banter.
Wonderful conversation.
With this person. And not just
pretty clear that this person has recently moved to the area. She is discussing the fact that she doesn't really know a lot of people. Seems very single.
Yeah.
Moved to the area for reasons that I would say make me think she is a decent human being. Like I like the cut of her jib, right? I'm like, this seems like a catch here.
And easy on the eyes, you could say.
You could
is
say.
Is that fair?
I have a buddy who's single.
And it meets the same criteria. A wonderful person. You can tell this guy is a loyal guy because he likes a dumb football team, right? He's not some fair weather dude.
No.
You know what I mean?
Good man.
He hates carbohydrates. Like, he takes great care of himself. He's a really nice guy.
Very fit.
Yeah.
Grant's, his abs and a V-taper.
Grant's going, I just came off the screen.
Yeah.
This guy's in the dunker spot. Let me throw it up.
So I told him, and that was kind of the original part of the story that I brought up on the air, and the reason I felt uncomfortable was I had gotten out of the chair, and no sooner than I got back to my car, I texted my buddy, and I'm like, dude, you got to come get your haircut here. Ask for this person, book the appointment with her, and then when she cuts your hair, you got to try to get her number and, like, see what happens. Obviously not while she's cutting your hair and you're sitting in the chair.
Because then she's trapped. Where can she go?
Yeah. She's at work. You don't want to. That's like borderline harassment. And so you don't want to do it that way. But you can figure this out. You can connect some dots here. Now, I may have told multiple friends, which is probably a little bit of a bridge too far. Mm. I told two friends that they should go get their haircut from them. Not to create some kind of competition or anything. But just because they're both looking for someone, if I could say that.
And she's someone. She could be
that someone.
Yeah.
And I would like for them if she was that someone, okay, as a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we were. Then the last update I gave you was that my buddy went to the place to get his haircut.
Haircut number one.
He booked an appointment.
Uh-huh.
He went there. She was the only person cutting hair. He had booked through the website to make sure that she cut his hair.
Requested her and everything, yeah.
He sits in her chair. I thought he would do the thing where he's like, oh, we don't see eye to eye. I'm not really that interested, whatever. He was very interested. He saw what I saw.
There's
saw a lot of the same attributes and things that we liked about her.
Yeah,
right?
Grant's one of the is a cross checker. He's one of the higher rated scouts.
Exactly.
You know, he comes in. He's got a good scouting report.
GM agreed with my scouting report. Yes. So everything went well, but then they do the thing where she kind of walks you over to pay, but then there's someone sitting at the desk, and he thought it would be weird with an audience right there, and he didn't want to follow her back to her seat. So he kind of is in an awkward situation with, you know, this person sitting there while he's trying to pay, mm-hmm. doesn't say anything, leaves and goes home. And he has to call me with his tail between his legs to say, I got my hair cut. Everything went great. I didn't ask for her number. Didn't advance this in any way. So now we're going, you got to be kidding me. Where do we go from here? You got to go back and get your hair cut. Well, Danny, here's your update. He was back getting his hair cut yesterday.
He got his hair cut again for the second time in 2 weeks.
Second haircut. And this time, everything went great. Sounds like the conversation was wonderful. He was still very intrigued. He did the thing that you and I had come up with, the mm-hmm. plan.
Yes.
Really, my wife had kind of come up with it, but we hatched this plan where at the end, you go pay, you do the tip, you do all that stuff. There's this, you know, third person that's standing there. Then she goes back to her chair. He follows her back over, and he just hands her a little piece of paper he had written his number on, and he says, hey, I hope this isn't inappropriate. And I hope that this doesn't make you uncomfortable. If it does, you know, please forgive me. If you ever want to go on a date, I would love to take you on a date. My number is right here. And he handed it to her. And she kind of did like a blushy kind of smile and said, thank you. And he left. And so he called and told me that.
I think that's pretty good. Now, if I'm like, I hope this isn't inappropriate, it probably would be because I'm a gargoyle.
Yes.
He's got abs and he's handsome.
Handsome.
So it's not inappropriate.
The difference between uh-huh. inappropriate and, wow, I'm so lucky that this guy wants to take me on a date is just, am I attracted to this person?
There you go.
So I thought this is pretty good. Now, the reason I love this is you put the ball in her court. If she's uncomfortable, she never has to contact you again.
She has to do nothing, yes.
And by the way, if she never contacts you again, never go in. You don't need to get your hair cut again. You've talked to her for the final
time.
Or
you can keep your every 2 week schedule just to see what happens.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if she contacts you, business is booming. A couple hours later, he gets a text.
Come on.
Gets a text.
Come on.
She says, hello, it's her.
The person, yep.
You made me blush. And she goes on to tell him she's not really looking to date right now, but thank you very much. I hope you understand. And I'd like to basically continue to have you as a client. I hope this doesn't change our relationship. You can keep coming in. He takes this as, this is really bad because she uses the word client and she doesn't want it to mess with her business. So she's basically letting him down by saying, hey, we're not going to date, but please keep coming in and getting hair.
Every 2 weeks, it's great.
Because I love cutting your hair and we can have this business relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I take that still very positively because she didn't have to text him her number at all. If she wanted to just keep this on the client basis, you never have to reach out. You make that very clear by never texting him. And the next time he comes in, it's like nothing ever happened. He just sits down in the chair because, you know, he's back for another haircut. You keep it professional and you never mention it again. He never mentions it again. I think even though she said, essentially, I'm not ready to date. She didn't say no. She open-ended, I'm not ready to date. And she texted you, giving you her number, which she didn't have to do.
Didn't have to do that.
So he's taking this as a massive L. I'm taking this as a minimal L. Ryan, you seem like you're chomping at the bit over there.
Yes, because I think it's not an L at all.
Oh, she literally said, I don't want to date right now. I want to continue to have this professional client relationship.
Yes, but right now. Not in a week
from
now. That
is important.
Right now, here's the thing. Like, I think he should keep his options open here. And
well, he's not putting all his eggs in this basket.
That's fair. You can put a few eggs in this basket while, you know, keeping your other eggs wherever else.
Quote, I'm not ready to be dating right now. I have a lot going on.
Okay.
Here is... Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Ryan.
No.
You good? Okay. Here is my personal belief. This is merely a, can you just climb over this little obstacle?
There.
I'm not going to make this that easy where you can just get your hair cut a couple times, waltz in, sweep me off my feet, and I'm that, you know, readily available for you.
But see, this is where we get into a sticky situation. Whereas guys think this is some big game where the girl's like, I want you to break through this wall. And the girl's like, I'm saying no, please.
No, I literally put a wall up, leave me alone.
It's like and this really isn't funny, but it's a funny joke as a comedian tells it.
Sit back here.
Bill Burr does this joke where he's like, you know, they say no means no. He's like, no means no. No means maybe.
Stop you know what I'm saying? No, like, you're so bad.
In this case, I think we need to be careful with how we're reading this. But I guess my point is, if she's saying, we're never going to date, I don't do that. She could have said, hey, I don't date clients. I would never do that. But I really appreciate the offer. It's flattering. And I hope this doesn't change anything. That is not the tone of this text.
I think it's simply a small obstacle course. That's how it reads to me. Now, obviously, if she says something more definitive and declarative, then you pop smoke and get out of there and pretend it never happened and go get your haircut somewhere else. But to me, there is still an opening there where it's like, I'm not really ready right now. But maybe you could be ready. If we could have coffee, it's just two people sitting in the room together.
I told him to respond and say, if you ever want to get together, we'll go to a movie or hike, go on a hike or, you know, I don't know what skinny people do, but like do some weird skinny people crap. Like,
we're gonna do some sit-ups together?
Yeah, let's do some fit people stuff. What do fit people do? They could probably figure that out. So the next text is very important here. More on this as it develops. The Beltway Blitz is next.